So, good morning 3CR, good morning Solid Ground. Almal in Pretoria, almal in Middelburg. Ons stuur baie groete vir julle. Everybody who's logging in from around the country, it's amazing to be preaching again. We're preaching on what I believe is the greatest book in the Bible. It's the book of Ruth. And I believe that this book is written, although it was written thousands of years ago, I believe it's written to South Africa at this time. We see this incredible start. There's anarchy in the government. There's economical famine. There's bad decisions being made by godly men. There's death, as we see in the COVID pandemic. And there's sexual deviancies taking place. So it's an incredible mix-mash of what we see in our world right now. Add into that three people. One is a bitter lady named Naomi. The second one is a widow who comes from the Moabites, which were birthed out of incest. And the third one is a man called Boaz, whose mother was a prostitute. So we find that in Joshua chapter 2, his mother was Rahab, a prostitute. So you have anarchy, you have famine, you have bad decisions, you've got death, and you've got sexual deviancies, you've got a widow, you've got a bitter woman, and you've got a son of a prostitute, and God says, amen, let's redeem it. Let's sort it out and create a picture that is going to bring hope to the whole world, including South Africa and including you today. Wherever you're sitting today, I'm telling you, your story is not far enough away from God to redeem you and use it in His great plan of salvation. So stop disqualifying yourself because Jesus qualified you. And I pray that today something will happen in your life. Today, all the shadows that haunt you will come to an end. Today, all the bad decisions that have dodged you will come to an end. And God is busy with a great plan of salvation, and He wants to use your story to do it. I was reading in the genealogy of Jesus this week in Matthew 1. Solomon is the wisest guy in the world, and he gives birth to a son called Rehoboam, who's absolutely doff. He just makes bad decisions, and both of them are in the genealogy of Jesus. So whether you're really clever or really doff, Jesus is going to redeem you. Whether you're sexually pure like Mary in genealogy of Jesus, or you are sexually compromised, God is going to use you and redeem you and build a story around you. Whether you are highly profiled or nobody's ever heard about you before, God is going to redeem you and use your story to build a salvation story to the ends of the earth. Amen? And so we're going to pick up, friends, in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "Then Naomi said, 'Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest.'" Say rest. Rest. Three kinds of rest in the book of Ruth. The rest that Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, you stay with your parents, you stay in your land, you've got more chance of finding a husband here. That rest means a place to stay. In Ruth chapter 3, when Naomi speaks again to Ruth and says, if you go into Boaz's field, you will find rest there. That's the same rest that we find in Genesis with Noah, when he sent the dove out, and it says there was no place to put his feet. That rest is a place to stand. So in chapter 1, it's a place to stay. In chapter 3, it's a place to stand. But this rest is a business transaction that needs to be done. And when it's done, you find unbelievable peace. So Ruth, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, when you come to Christ, you'll find a place to stay, you'll find a place to stand, and you'll find a place where the transaction over your redemption is finished and you can actually come into rest. Your past can't hurt you anymore because the Redeemer has paid a price for your freedom and for your rest. This is what it says. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. This is my faith as we've been preaching over the TV series, that God would somehow transcend myself and Stephen and our preaching team across the TV screens into your home. And I pray in Middelburg and Pretoria today, things will be settled. There will be no rest until it's settled. Your brokenness, your depression, your debauchery, your darkness that haunts you, your bad decisions, settle today in the name of Jesus. That's why the book of Ruth was written. Into anarchy, into famine, into brokenness, into sexual diversity. The book, today. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and he sat there. I love it, man. He just decided, I've got resources and I'm going to go to the place of government and I'm going to sit there. I'm going to take my place. I got this message this week from a man in Durban. Let me call him Boaz. A man who had a dark past, but he's come good. God has saved him and he's standing straight up and he's got resources. He wrote this. He says, I said to you, you phoned me. I said to you that I felt God say that today, as you continue to pray and trust Him for the building, today is the day, this is a man in Durban, that I must pay for your building project. So I put 71,000 Rand in the account today so that people like me, addicted to alcohol, gambling, and women, can come up the crooked staircase of 3CI and leave being set free of these addictions to walk into the destiny and the fullness that God had planned for their lives. Oh, sir, in Durban, Boaz, thank you. This book starts in emptiness and it ends in fullness. It starts in anarchy and it ends in the kingdom. It starts in bitterness and it ends in sweetness. It starts with a funeral and ends in a wedding. God is busy with us, 3CI. God is busy with us, Solid Ground. And the Boaz of heaven, Jesus, is releasing Boazes on earth, men and women, who will use their resources to stand at the gates and redeem people that are broken. I stood at this crooked staircase a few times this week. I was redeemed myself. I did something very stupid 5 years ago that caused a rift in a relationship. But that person came back this week. It wasn't a sin issue. It was just a stupid issue on my side. They came back this week into my office and we went and stood on the crooked staircase and prayed together. God today is busy redeeming situations. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went and he sat down. Boaz took 10 elders of the town and he said, sit here, and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so, but if you will not, tell me, so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he said. Now, Boaz is a bit tricky. You remember this, friends? It starts with Ruth coming into Boaz's town. Then Ruth goes into Boaz's field. Then Ruth goes into Boaz's heart. And this is the situation taking place where Boaz is opening the door for Ruth to come into his home. We come into the town, we come into the field, we come into his heart, we come into his home. This transaction is taking place. Now this guy looks interested in hijacking it. Then Boaz says, on the day that you buy the land from Naomi, the bitter one, and from Ruth the Moabites, who comes from the incestuous background, you must remember you acquire the dead man's widow. You're not going to make bucks on the land. It comes with responsibility. You're going to get the old girl too. In order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because it might endanger my own estate. How many of you have been rejected because you didn't make business sense? How many of you have been discarded because the price to keep you was too high? How many of you have been shifted aside because you were inconvenient to the future momentum of some people's visions? Jesus moved every obstacle in order to redeem your life, whether it's from sexual brokenness or poverty or destruction or orphanhood or widowhood. Jesus paid the full price for your full redemption. You are not an inconvenience to Jesus. You are part of historical plan and part of his future kingdom momentum. Now, in the earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. I had the privilege this last week as I started preaching on Ruth to arrive and find a pair of shoes. I've actually been given 3 pairs of shoes through this series. But I put these shoes on and my wife said, "Gee, where do you find the shoes?" I said, "I found them on my desk." And so I preached on the first book of Ruth. And then last week I just looked at the shoes and I picked them up. And under this shoe it says, "Stay free." I didn't know why I got these shoes. And under this shoe it says, "Keep moving." Solid Ground and 3CI and every single person who's watching this, I pray that I can transcend the TV screen and give you the shoe from Christ who entered into a covenant on behalf of your life and say to you, do you need the shoe that says stay free? Or do you need the shoe that says keep moving? But I want to offer you these shoes today and say, we are in a covenant with Jesus that says stay free and keep moving. Stay free from all your mistakes, all your darkness, all your clouds, all your bad decisions, all your sexual deviances. Stay free. And don't let anybody stop you. Don't let your past haunt you. Don't let the enemy make you tremble. Don't get stuck. Keep moving. Stay free and keep moving. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess." It's the last time she's called this. May you never be called disqualified again. May you never be called divorcee again. May you never be called loose again. May you never be called slut again. May you never be called doff again. Whenever you move countries, you move for something better. People immigrate from South Africa to Australia for a better future for their children. The Rayburns have just left South Africa for England because their son, who has an eye condition, Cameron, can have better treatment in England. Yeah, you always move for a better purpose. Except 2 people. Ruth, she moved from Moab. She left her name. She left her father's house. She left her identity and she moved so that Naomi could be redeemed. And the only other person who moved countries for the worst was Jesus. He left heaven and came to earth in far worse conditions so that you and I, in a bad place, can move to a better place. May you never be labeled again by your choices, by the past, or by the things you've done, or by the place you got born, or didn't get born, whether you're born in wedlock or out of wedlock. Jesus took off his shoes and moved country so that you can be redeemed. Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town's records. Today you are witnesses. And the elders of those who are at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel." So she's a Moabite. She's got like no history with God's people. Rachel and Leah are the ones who gave birth to Reuben and Joseph and Judah. Those are the mothers of Israel. She says, may this woman be like the mothers of Israel. May she inhabit the whole earth with her sons. He's linking this complete outsider. He's linking her to the history of Israel. I am an outsider to Pretoria. I am foreign to this land. I'm an English-speaking Durbanite. And God brought me here and linked me to Pretoria. Oh, thank God. I am Ruth when I walk on this property. But thank you, Lord, that you have linked me to the history of 3CR and you have linked me to the future. It says, Lord, in Ephesians, we are outsiders. We are far from the covenants. We are excluded from the promises, but you brought us close. Solid ground, you are linked to the blessings of the people of God. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, you may your family be like that of Perez, for whom Tamar bore to Judah. You think, hey, great story if you just read it. If you go and read it, we don't have time. But if we go and read the story in Genesis, it's here. Friends, and we have got people watching me today. You disqualify yourself because of your decisions and your darkness and your debauchery. I'm telling you, this book is the greatest qualification book in the whole Bible. Today, God is settling matters. They pray this. Through the offspring that the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, which means breakthrough, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Let me give you the story. Judah, of which Jesus comes from, he is from the lion, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus comes from this line. Judah had three sons. He gave his first son, to Tamar. His first son was wicked, so the Lord put him to death. But the Bible says, if your first son dies, you must give a second son because the name's got to continue. So he gave his second son to Tamar, and he died. And Judah, instead of taking responsibility and saying, it was my son's fault, he blamed the woman, Tamar. He said, no, it's your fault. But I tell you what, my third son, I'll raise him up, all in Genesis there. I'll raise my third son up, and when he's raised up, I'll give him to you. Because, friends, the family name was important. This whole book is about the family name. The whole book is about our name. But Judah went back on his word, and he said, I'm not going to give my son to that woman because he might die too. He has taken the responsibility off his sons, and he's put it onto her. Now, friends, if you read Hosea 4, you'll see this. It says, I will excuse your daughter-in-laws from becoming prostitutes. Because to have a name and to have a future, like today, we need an education and we need a good job and we need a network. In those days, you needed a family. So Tamar gets dressed up like a prostitute. And she seduces her father-in-law on the side of the road. And she becomes pregnant. And she says, but you must pay me. He says, I can't pay you now, but take my staff and my rope and my signet ring and take this and I'll send you a young goat. And then he sends a young goat and he can't find Tamar because she's taken off her prostitute's clothes and put her widow's clothes back on again. And he says, but we must find her lest we become a laughing stock. So now his reputation is at stake. He says, you've got to find this prostitute, otherwise you're going to become a laughing stock. And then he finds out that she's pregnant, and he says, you must burn her. You must throw her in the fire and burn her. And then as she's about to get burned, she pulls out the staff and she says, Judah, the mighty Judah, do you recognize the staff? And all of a sudden, he sort of has this recognition, and he says this, you are more righteous than me, because I should have redeemed you. And so your sexual sin was actually more righteous than me trying to put my sin upon you. You see, friends, the proper Judah, Jesus, instead of putting his sin on us,
He has no sin. Instead of putting the blame on us, so that we become the laughing stock, so that we get ripped off for prostitution, so that we get ripped off for brokenness, he takes the sin off us. And he becomes the laughing stock. He's the one on the cross that everybody mock and laugh and spit at. And we get his righteousness. And it's in the genealogy. He's saying, I'm hoping your child will become like Perez. I hope you form relationships that will lead to breakthrough. Judah always gives birth to breakthrough. I pray today, 3CI. I pray today, Solid Ground, that there will be Perez in your life. I pray as we worship God. That's what Judah means. Praise God. With all your mistakes, with all the tamars and the laughing stock and the with all that, I pray that Perez will be birthed in us. I pray that breakthrough will be birthed. I pray that today some things will come to an end. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And the woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Friends, the redemption of Naomi was family. Her husband was dead. Her two sons were dead. She had to sell her land. And she had zero opportunity for a future. And God takes a widowed woman with a historical past of incest, born in Moab, and makes her like seven sons. Say seven sons.
Seven.
Say seven sons.
Seven.
Seven sons is the perfect number. To have a son was like amazing and meant your line went on. Seven sons means the perfect family. Friends, when Boaz and Ruth get married, it is like Jesus and the church getting married. The church becomes like seven sons. Are you from a broken family? Come to church, you'll find seven sons. You'll find the perfect family. God will take a broken woman like Ruth, who could have chosen to kick out of society, could have chosen like her sister-in-law to stay in Moab, and God will take the imperfection of her life and make her greater than seven sons. Friends, I'm one son. I'm one son. My mum's moving to retirement. She phoned and said, "Son, can you come down and have a look at it?" And I couldn't because I was busy and I felt so bad as a son. And I had to phone my sister and say, "Sis, can you go up and take mum and see her?" And then last week I drove down to see my mum, and my sister and I discussed it. That was one day, 24 hours. Imagine if my mum had seven sons. One could have driven down on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, one on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. And every day of the week, my mum would have had a different son visiting her, and her widowhood would have just been so completed. You are like seven sons, and 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 you watching the screen are like seven sons. And you say, "But you don't know what my background is." I'm talking about your future. So who's the redeemer here? Is it Boaz? Who used his authority at the gate, who used his resources in the field, who used his bargaining power and his wealth to redeem? Or is it Ruth, who bought her mother-in-law, no husband, no sons, no name, no field, but she creates the perfect family? Is she the redeemer? But look what it says here. The woman said to Naomi, verse 14, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer.
May he become famous throughout Israel. Who are they talking about? They're not talking about Boaz. They're talking about the little boy who's born in Bethlehem. They're talking about the baby who's just been born. He's a type of Christ. He's the grandfather of David, who's going to become the line of Jesus. This little boy born in Bethlehem is going to become famous all over the earth. And he's going to take bitter women and sexually broken women and men who have made bad decisions and sons whose mothers are prostitutes and people who are really clever and people who are really quiet and people who are really dark and people who are really far and women that are very successful and women that are great failures. He's going to start to knit their story into his story. And it's going to be written down as the salvation and the history of the kingdom of God. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap. Remember, she was bitter, eh? Because she was empty. Imagine interviewing Naomi when she got back. Say, how are you doing? Not good. If you're bitter, run to the church. Don't run away. Run towards the church. You're having a tough time, run towards the church. If you interviewed Naomi now and said, Naomi, with this little boy, Obed, which means servant, in your lap, how's the last 10 years been? You see, friends, if you take the last year, it's been tough. If you take the last 2 years, maybe tough. Last 3 years may be tough. But if we allow God to do what he's doing in the book of Ruth, we're going to see God starting to knit your story, small, insignificant, little story, into his story, which will become history. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. We don't have time to go and read Matthew 1. But inside that genealogy is Judah was the father of Perez, whose mother was Tamar. Slept with her father-in-law. Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, a prostitute. Ruth, who was a Moabitess that came from Lot, who slept with his daughters, was the mother of Obed. Obed was the mother, was the father of the next guy, of the next guy, of the next guy, of David. David, it says in Matthew chapter 1, slept with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. He sinned. He was meant to be at war. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it's not excluded from the scriptures. Jesus was at the right place at the right time. So that if you at the wrong place at the wrong time, and you put your faith into the one who is at the right place at the right time, he takes your story and he weaves it into his story, and the kingdom of God gets birthed. Today, friends, today, God is redeeming you and finding rest for your soul and for your spirit and for your emotions and for your past. There is a passing of shoes. Stay free, keep moving. Stay free, keep moving. He will buy your holy state. Old woman, attached. All your sin, attached. All your laughing stock, attached. All your bad choices, attached.
and He will redeem every single situation of every single person watching this podcast. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. He did not die in vain. He did not leave heaven to come to this mad country. Anarchy, poverty, death, sexual innuendos, bad decisions. He came so that we could be set free. And whether you Naomi, or whether you Ruth, or whether you Boaz, step into the story. Do not be dictated by your past. Let God redeem you so that you can have a story that will change the world. God bless you. You are not insignificant. You are not far enough away from God to rescue you. You are not too dark for His light to shine at you. I declare in the name of Jesus today, be saved and be set free. In Jesus' name. Amen. So like, roar, God. I want to roar, God. I want to roar, Lord, today. I want to roar over young ladies, Lord. I want to roar over broken people. I want to roar over those who have disqualified themselves. I want to roar over those who have been rejected, God. I want to roar over those who don't think they're worth it. Almighty God, would you redeem today? Would you redeem today, God? Those in Middelburg, those in Durban who are watching, those in Pretoria, Father God, would you redeem, Lord God? This book, Lord God, Ruth, was read at Pentecost. When the book was read, the Holy Spirit moves, Lord, and takes everybody who is excluded from the covenant promises of God and pours your Spirit upon them. Lord, would you pour your Spirit on the broken? Will you pour your Spirit on the bruised? Will you pour your Spirit on those who have wasted time? I pray, Lord God, that today people would find a place to stay. They would find a place to stand. And they would find a place to rest. Today, God, today, there is a transaction taking place in the hearts and the minds and the spirits of the people listening. You have completed the task. You are Boaz. You are Ruth. You are everything. You are David. You are Obed. You are everything. You are the little boy born in Bethlehem who became the Savior of the world. Today I pray, save and set people free. In Jesus' name, amen.